A Southern blogger once wrote that traveling down Land's End Road on St. Helena Island during the daytime has a majestic feel to it, but driving down the road at night gives you a sense of fear. Land's End Road is 8 miles of beauty during the day, but the dark history of grave robbing, the Civil War, and murder draws visitors to take a chance and travel down this South Carolina road at night. This is the story of Land's End Road. This is Southern Mysteries.
It's gonna be all right. These ain't dark or troubled times. It's a day like any other day. You got a dark and troubled mind, all right. You hold that baby tight, and I swear if you can hear me, then everything gonna be just fine, all right. All right.
Welcome to Southern Mysteries, exploring historical mysteries and legendary figures of the American South. I'm your host, Shannon Ballard. If you turn down Land's End Road and travel along its 8 mile stretch during the day, you'll find it to be a picturesque community on St. Helena Island in South Carolina. As you drive down the road, you take in gorgeous views, Spanish moss hanging low from giant oak trees. It's beautiful and peaceful. St. Helena Island was established in 1670, and if you see it in person, you can understand why the community is full of families who have been here for generations. Along with its beauty, Land's End Road, it does have a dark side. If you travel down the road after dark, you may discover firsthand the three legendary haunts that have led to this road being named one of the most haunted in the South. The first of these three legendary haunts along Land's End Road is the Chapel of Ease ruins that are situated just near the road. According to the South Carolina Department of Archives, the Chapel of Ease ruin is significant for its association with the St. Helena Parish, both as a secondary and a primary place of worship for inhabitants of the parish. It was built around 1740 as a chapel of ease to serve planters in St. Helena Parish who lived at great distances from the parish church in Beaufort, South Carolina, and were not able to regularly attend services there. By 1812, the population of St. Helena Island had increased to the extent that the Chapel of Ease was designated a parish church. The church was virtually abandoned when planters evacuated the island in the fall of 1861 during the Civil War. During the federal occupation of St. Helena, the church was used frequently by several of the Northerners who had come to the island to educate and train freedmen. It was burned by a forest fire in February of 1886 and was never repaired. When you arrive at the Chapel of Ease ruins, you see what remains of a once quaint church on the island, the walls and much of its plaster. There's also a small cemetery adjacent to the church. And there is Spanish moss hanging from the trees and hanging down and along the walls that remain of this chapel. It's dramatically beautiful in the light of day. But it's also full of stories of haunts. Visitors who have walked the grounds and entered the area of the church where those old walls still stand have reported hearing whispered prayers, hymns being sung, even disembodied voices. There are also stories of the feeling of evil coming over visitors who visit toward dusk and at night. The odd paranormal activity extends beyond the walls of the ruin into the church cemetery. Countless people have reported feeling cold spots in the heat of the summer. They also report suddenly feeling sick, hearing spooky voices in the woods surrounding the ruins and the cemetery, and seeing an occasional apparition of a woman wearing a white dress strolling around the cemetery, carrying an infant. Perhaps the most infamous story of hauntings in this cemetery is associated with the crypt that was designated for the Fripp family. Edgar and Eliza Fripp were a wealthy couple laid to rest in the cemetery. Undertakers reportedly honored their final request, that their most prized possessions be entombed inside their crypt. When federal forces were in control of St. Helena Island during the Civil War, Union soldiers caught wind of the rumors of the Fripp family treasure. They went crypt robbing. breaking into the tomb and stealing what was inside. That was unsettling enough for caretakers at the Chapel of East Cemetery, but what happened next downright frightened them. When caretakers tried sealing up the old crypt behind the church, something happened that's never been explained. The workers sealed up the crypt with bricks. They went home, and when they came back to work the next day, they discovered that overnight, the bricks used to seal off the crypt had been neatly stacked in a pile near the front of the crypt. All of the work from the day before, undone. This didn't happen once or twice. It happened at least three times. Eventually, the caretakers tired of their futile attempt to seal the crypt, and they left it open, and it remains open to this day. Once darkness falls over the Chapel of Ease on Land's End Road, there are no streetlights in the area. Nothing to light your way if you were to visit and walk the grounds. Just you, the darkness, and whatever spirit didn't want the Fripp family crypt closed up so it could come and go as it pleased. Just up the road from the Chapel of Ease, an old oak tree marks the spot that's become the legend of the Land's End Light. What first appears to be the headlights of an automobile approaching in the distance may materialize into an eerie orb of soft white light floating several feet above the highway, drifting towards you very slowly. If you panic and crank your vehicle, the light disappears. The Beaufort County Library reports that at least two motorists have died while chasing, or some believe fleeing, the Land's End Light. Where does the light come from? What can explain the paranormal and haunting aspect of it? No one is absolutely certain, but there are a few theories that have been a part of the St. Helena Island folklore for generations. The first theory comes from 1891, when Union forces invaded the island. It's said they decapitated a Confederate soldier on patrol. Although, depending on who tells the story, Confederate soldiers decapitated a Union soldier. But the tale always ends with the headless man wandering Land's End Road with an old iron lantern in his hand. The second theory is that the light is that of the spirit of a soldier who was stationed at a nearby fort called Fort Fremont in 1910. His name was Frank Quigley, and he was killed in a fight with island residents. The final theory that some say explains the Land's End Light, well, it involves the most innocent among us, children. There was an accident in which a school bus full of children careened off the road and into an oak tree. Several people died in the collision, and some believe the Land's End Light is a headlight from the doomed bus. We can never know the exact source of the light or the exact ghost associated with the orb, but we do have an account of an encounter with the Land's End Light. A Beaufort area native, Barry Gooch, described his encounter with the Land's End Light, and here's what he shared. When we saw the light from a car approaching from the distance, we were certain it really was just another car, probably coming to join us. As we watched in amazement, it came towards us much too fast, and then seemed to slow to an almost imperceptible pace. Transfixed by what we were witnessing, the car headlights transformed into a heavenly glow of a ball of soft white light that slowly drifted in our direction until it hovered over the right front fender of my Chevy. Scared was not the appropriate way to describe my mental state as I prayed my old Chevy would crank. When the starter caught, that ghostly ball of light disappeared into nothingness faster than the tires on my old Chevy would spin. Down the road from the old oak tree and the Land's End Light is Fort Fremont. The Spanish-American War fort was built right along the water in 1899. The fort is known as one of the most expensive to construct of all the forts in this area of South Carolina, and it's also known as the most useless. There was never a threat or a call to arms made at Fort Fremont. By 1906, the War Department, well, they were ready to close the fort due to budget problems. It remained in use, but had a small group of soldiers assigned to the area. In 1921, Fort Fremont was deactivated as a military institution. The fort was abandoned, and ever since, there have been eerie sightings throughout the area, including the spirit of an enslaved man who was killed on the property that would later become Fort Fremont. It said his heartbroken spirit lingers, having been separated from his wife, and he is constantly searching for his long-lost love along Land's End Road. Another notable eerie sighting is that of Private Frank Quigley. In June of 1910, violence erupted between soldiers assigned to Fort Fremont and local men who were selling moonshine to the soldiers. With each brawl, anger between the soldiers and the moonshiners grew stronger. Following several fights, six soldiers were wounded and one was killed. The Beaufort Gazette reported that a moonshiner named Isaiah Potter was angered when he heard of intimacy between his wife and a soldier, Private Frank Quigley, and he had no regrets over his death. Private Quigley has long been said to be the source of not only those hauntings at Fort Fremont, but also the eerie Land's End light. It would seem his spirit is seemingly trapped and doomed to linger along Land's End Road. Southern Mysteries is hosted and produced by me, Shannon Ballard. You can read more about Land's End Road and this beautiful and haunting area of South Carolina at southernmysteries.com. Make sure to subscribe for free in iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, also Google Play Music, or any podcast player. Just search for Southern Mysteries Podcast to find the show. And when you do that, you'll never miss a new episode of Southern Mysteries. I've had a lot of people reach out and ask how they can support Southern Mysteries. I am working on ways so you can do that in the future, but for now, you can support Southern Mysteries in two simple ways. First of all, rating and reviewing the show in your podcast player. Anyone looking for a new podcast, they always check out the reviews, so you could help other people discover the show. And the second way you can support is by sharing a link to Southern Mysteries with your friends, whether it's through Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or snapping about it. You have a network too, so if you share, you support the podcast. Thanks for listening.